Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Are you ready for the word tonight? I am. You know, Tim had asked me maybe mid-morning if I would minister the word. And then I think when the slick text came out, he had mentioned Psalm 46:10, which is what I was going to be ministering on. But then that changed later in the afternoon. So we're going to just follow what he wants, right? So tonight, the Lord would like us to just have a little bit of an adjustment in our thinking concerning offense and being offended with people, right? Because people do people things. Have you noticed that? I mean, whether it's at your house, at school, at work, at church, wherever it is, and there's going to be a lot for us to overlook in this life, right? Because we're not victim to what anybody does and what anybody says. And many times when things happen that we don't like, that we say, oh, it wasn't in our heart, or, you know, it wasn't what we thought should happen, we think immediately we need to do something about it, right? But did you know God can do something about it all on his own? He don't need you to help him. And so tonight he's going to share some things with us and reveal some things to us out of his word concerning living offense-free. Amen. So let's go over here, if you will, to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. You know, just generally speaking, in our flesh, you know, we don't like things that are different, right? We like everyone to think like us, to act like us, to do what we want, you know? And when things aren't going how we want, we feel the need to sometimes jump in and change it, help somebody see it the way we know they should see it, right? Because in our mind, the way we're thinking is right. You know, we want the president to make the decisions that we want. We want our husband and our wife to make the decisions that we want. We want our pastor and our boss to decide things the way we think they should be done. And when they're not doing that, we're going to help them see how they should do that, right? But that is wrong-spirited. When we want to take something and twist it how we think it should be done, right? So tonight, the Lord's going to help us in our thinking concerning this so that we can live in victory. We can move on with our life, right? Is there something that you're always trying to change? You're always trying to, you know, make your spouse see it your way. You're always trying to make your boss, you know, see it, how the project should go this way. Or, you know, your pastor's making decisions, but you're sure you know better. And we're going to see tonight that that's not of God. And sometimes we can follow that rabbit hole. You know, my kids said, Mom, that doesn't even make sense. They don't know what the whole rabbit hole thing is. You know, you fall down the rabbit hole. You know, you start out making one suggestion, but before you know it, you're trying to control the whole thing. That's the rabbit hole, right? You know, you get on your phone to look at one thing, and 2 hours later, you're still looking. You fell down the internet rabbit hole. You know what I mean? It's like it doesn't look like much on the surface, but there's a whole lot underneath, you know? And so you can start out where maybe you had a suggestion, but next thing you know, you're trying to control every little part of it. And that's not God. He doesn't want us to live like that. And have you ever noticed, because we've all done this, we've all done it, whether it was 2 years ago, 5 days ago, or today, we've done it. But the good thing is we can make it right, right? There is such thing as saying, I'm sorry. I know it's not popular, but we can do it if we'll put our flesh under and just make amends. But you know how you're in that mode is when you're worked up. You're always trying to control it. You're always trying to manipulate it. You're always trying to make it your way. And there's never peace about that situation. Why is there never peace about it? Not because they're not doing a certain thing or because they're acting a certain way. It's because you're out of the light. You're out of God's plan. It is not our job to manipulate people and things. You know, we can be offended at the president. We can be offended at our pastor, at our spouse, at our job, whatever it is, because they're not doing, they're not acting, they're not making decisions, they're not thinking how we know they should, right? And it's a sure sign then that we're offended. And we know this, when we're offended, we can't receive anything. you know, the kids and I, after school yesterday, we were driving down the street. We passed this yard, and there were these two little dogs in this yard, but they came pretty close to the sidewalk, and it was a really busy street. And I said, they must have an electric fence, you know, for them to be that close to the road, how busy it was there on Hunt Road. And the kids look, and they have these little shock collars on, you know. And, you know, what are those electric fences meant to do? They're meant to keep those dogs in, right? Those dogs are in that yard, and they see the whole world out there. You know, they see other dogs they want to go fight with, or they see other people they want to go jump on, or, you know, maybe they see food or smell food, and they want to go get it. But that offense keeps them from leaving there, that fence. And that same thing is true with us. Those offenses will keep us from receiving all that we see in his word, all that we hear about, all that, you know, pastor preaches about. And we want those things, and we can see them, and we should be able to go to them, but the offense keeps us from having them. And sometimes we don't even realize we've stepped over into it. Have you ever done that? Where it started out real small, but it gained momentum, and before you knew it, it was like the snowball, and you're all caught up in it, you know? But the good thing is you can get right back out. And so let's see here over in 2 Kings chapter 5. And let's start in verse 1. And we have read this account on several occasions. But I want us to see some things tonight. Now Naaman was a captain of the host of the king of Syria and was a great man with his master, and he was honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria, and he was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. So the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would to God my lord were with the prophet that's in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And so one went in and told his lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that's of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou may recover him of his leprosy. And so it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover the man of leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see that how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And so it was so, when Elijah the man of God heard that the king of Israel rent his clothes, he sent to the king and said, wherefore have you rent your clothes? Let him come to me, and he shall know there's a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came unto with his horses and his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elijah sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall come again to you, and you shall be clean. And Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord and his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? And so he turned and went away in a rage. Isn't this very interesting? You would think someone who's leprous, the man of God tells you what to do, it wouldn't matter what he said. You'd just do it, right? But what did it say in verse 11? And we'll continue reading after this. But verse 11, it said, behold, I thought. Behold, I thought. That was Naaman's problem, is that he went in thinking how it should have been. And so many times, that's our problem. That we think something should be a certain way. And when it doesn't go our way, we're like Naaman. We're up in a rage. We're having a little hissy fit. We're complaining to our spouse. We're telling our coworkers about it. Maybe it's about another child or something that happened at school, and we're talking to other parents. We're acting like Naaman. But we're going to see that he got corrected. Verse 13 says, and his servant came near to him and spake unto him and said, my father of the prophet had bid thee to do something great. Wouldn't you not have done it? How much rather then when he said to you, wash and be clean? Well, thank God there's people around us who will say, listen, you're just thinking dumb. You know, try not to think about it. Just do what he said, you know. And so aren't you glad you have people around you that when you're not thinking right, they'll come to you and tell you? I had that happen to me recently, and my husband came and said something to me, and I said, you know what? You're right. I hadn't even realized I was thinking wrong about that. Thank you. You know, we need people around us. So thankfully, he listened. Verse 14, he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was cleaned. And so thankfully, he listened to his friends around him. Now, here's a few things I want you to consider in your own life. These are things that you may recognize in yourself that will be a telltale about whether or not you're in offense about something, right? Because what happens is you start to think along a certain line and you don't even realize that you were thinking wrong about something. Has that ever happened to you? And then something was preached or you read a scripture or the Lord spoke to you and you're like, my God, I've been thinking wrong about that for months or for years, or however long, you know? And so think about this. Do you say, I wish my spouse was different? See, wrong thinking. That's keeping you a victim, like you have no victory. You have nothing to do with it. I wish my spouse was different. Nope, wrong thinking, right? I wish my life was different. Again, wrong thinking. We're offended at something. How about this? Oh, here's a big one. I could do it better than they're doing it. Maybe you don't say these things, but you're thinking it in your head, right? I could do it better than they, like Naaman. Aren't there better rivers to go in? He knows how it should be. I could do it better than them. Also, why don't they do it like this? Why don't they do it like this? This is big for married people. Because you're probably going to marry someone the opposite of you, and that thought's going to come to you like 20 times a day. Why don't they do it like this? You're thinking like the enemy if you think that. Why don't they do it like this, right? Or how about this? Let me show you how to do that. Yeah, that's a good one. Or you just do it how you want. That's even worse. Or you think they shouldn't do that, right? You're judging it. Remember what Matthew said in chapter 7, verse 1, that you judge not? When we think like that, we're judging them. And we know only the Lord is righteous enough to judge somebody, right? If you think this, I wouldn't do it like they're doing that. I wouldn't handle that situation like they're handling that situation. Don't they know X, Y, and Z, right? If you find yourself in any of these statements, you may be thinking and doing things that are not in line with God's word. You may be living in offense. When you think of a person, when you think of a place, a situation, your home, your job, whatever it is, do you feel worked up about something? That you can sense yourself automatically starting to, you know, you have thoughts about how it should be. If that's true, you're in offense about it. And listen, this is not accusing anybody. What it is what we sang about, right, Reverend Tony? Heart light to your heart and to your soul, because you may not even recognize it. But remember, like that electric invisible fence, it will hold you back. It will keep you from going to the things that you can see in the word, living in offense. Go over here, if you will, to Matthew chapter 16. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for people around you who will help you to think right? Help you to think right. Matthew chapter 16, verse 20. Matthew 16, 20. 16, verse 20. And let me share this with you, okay? Make a note of this. Wrong thinking will always consider what someone else should or shouldn't do. Wrong thinking will always consider what someone else should or should not do. And here's the second part. But fails to consider what we ourselves should or should not do. Right? So wrong thinking will always be pointing to what someone else should or should not do, right? So go to Matthew chapter 16, verse 20. And it says this, and we're going to see what Jesus has to say about this. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. And from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he will go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, that this shall not be unto thee." Imagine that. Imagine grabbing Jesus by the sleeve and being like, "Jesus, you're not going to do that," right? But we'll see. We have done that sometimes. And he turned and said unto him, "Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. You are an offense unto me. You savor not the things that are of God, but those that be of men." And so here's something that we really need to understand, that any time we think we're correcting the leader of something, it's doing Satan's work. Here's Peter going to Jesus himself, trying to tell Jesus how it should and shouldn't be. And we think, oh, Peter, you know, we look down on him. But have we done that? Maybe you're a wife and you go to your husband continually, you know, telling him how it should and should not be. He's the head of the home. And so it's just as if Peter grabbed Jesus and said, "It's not going to be like this. It shouldn't be like that." When we're constantly going to them, berating them, telling them about the decisions that they're making that we don't agree with. And here's my favorite, when we say, "Well, that's not in my heart." It doesn't matter if it's in your heart. No, it doesn't. It doesn't matter. Because he's the head of the home. And if he makes a wrong decision, that's between him and God. Do you know if other people decide things, it doesn't have to affect you? No, it doesn't have to affect you. That's why so many people are wanting an iron grip on things, on controlling things and manipulating things and having it their way, and everybody needs to follow my standard and they don't know as much as me. Because really, it's total doubt, absolute lack of faith. Because if we had faith, we would know what needs to be changed, God will change if I just use my faith on it. And when we pray, we don't pray what we want God to do, like telling him what we want him to do. We ask him to work in that situation. We're not telling him, "God, this is what I want you to do." No, God, we want you to have your way there. What do you want to do? And so when we try and manipulate things, we try to manipulate the leader of something. Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." Peter was thinking Satan's thoughts when he did that, when he went to Jesus and tried to correct the leader. And so that's true whether it's the wife in the home, whether it's you to your boss at work, you know, whether it's here at the church to the pastor. You know, people just do people things and try to manipulate things. You know, we're trying to manipulate the one who's in charge so they do it like we want. People do that with sports. They go to the you know, the coach of the team, and they try and tell him, "Don't you think you should do this?" or "Why did you do that?" And sports is, I mean, it happens all the time in sports. There's all areas across life where people try and manipulate those things. And that's being offended, and you're living in pride, and it needs to be put down, right? Aren't you thankful for the light of the word? Because Jesus is trying to get things into our life. But we have to put this down for him to give it to us, for us to receive it, I should say. And so we want to make sure that we think right concerning these things. Let me tell you how it said in one translation, okay? God's Word translation says this: Jesus turned and said to Peter, verse 23, "Get out of my way, Satan. You are tempting me to sin. You aren't thinking the way God thinks, but the way humans think." You aren't thinking the way God thinks when you think you know better than the leader of something, right? because they're anointed to be in that position. They're graced to be in that position. And also, have you noticed this, maybe as the leader, or maybe you've been privy to things, that the leader of a certain organization, or the leader of the home, you know, the leader of a business, whatever it is, they have information you don't have. Both that God told them, or just natural information. They have details you don't know. And many times details you can't know for confidentiality or not to expose people. And so, you know, there are many times we have ideas about how things should go, but we don't know the whole picture. We might only know 10% of the picture. And so it's pride to think, I know it all. And we might not say I know it all. We just act like that, trying to control things, right? Here's the Good News translation. It says this: these thoughts of yours don't come from God. So remember when Peter was acting like that? Why did he act like that? Because he first thought like that, right? And so we want to think right concerning these things. Now, consider this in your own life, okay? Here's another couple things that you can consider about whether or not you're in offense with someone. Do you have people you've written off? The world does that. The church is not to do that. It doesn't mean you have to be best friends with everybody. But listen, sometimes we've even written off people in church, in the body of Christ. And you know what that does? It breaks unity. But why do we write people off? Because of what they did, what they said. They didn't do it how we wanted. They didn't do it how we said. They didn't follow what we thought. And so think to yourself, when you see somebody, let's say it's somebody who said something harsh to you, maybe something hurtful, something inappropriate, do you think to yourself, I'm going the other way? And you turn and go the other way. So you may not even realize you walked into offense. Maybe you didn't talk about them, but you had it up here, right? And so are there people you've written off? I mean, you know, some people, they have whole lists of people they've written off. They didn't write it down, but they got it all up here, right? And do you see someone, or, you know, you hear someone's name and you still remember the hurt that they did to you? And that as soon as that person's name is brought up, or as soon as you see them, you start to replay in your mind what it was that they did that hurt you that was wrong, right? We want to live offense-free. And we want to do that because there are people who need financial miracles, people who need miracles in their body, people who are even just out of peace. They're not sleeping good or not sleeping long, or they're just, you know, wrought up in their mind, suffering in their mind, and it can stem from being offended, right? So the Lord is telling us these things so we can make our heart adjustments, so we can renew our mind concerning it and walk into what he has for us, right? And so let's think right about these things. Aren't you ready just to grow up in God? And if you need to, be willing to say, I'm sorry, you know? And sometimes people have done this to me. I don't recommend it, but you know, they've gone to me and said, you know, for the last 2 years, I've been thinking these terrible thoughts about you. You know, that's between you and God. You don't have to tell somebody that. You know, no need to apologize about that. Just, Lord, I'm sorry I thought wrong about them. But, you know, if you've had a rift with somebody and you know, there clearly has been a line that somebody crossed and you've cut them off, just go apologize, right? It's not hard. And actually, it's good for us to practice doing it. So we live a life of humility. Amen. All right, why don't we seek the Lord here in prayer?